Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Without a money and without a good thought, a bitch with love and prison cells, natural incinerator, the gaze of hell, the gaze of hell. Broke the rules, tried to be cool, paid the price of life that you're a fool. A fallen angel ring, an old church bell, natural sinner at the gates of hell. Living fast and dying and leave a pretty corpse. Sex, drugs and rock and roll confirm the mind bomb. Wake up with a headache, read the things you've done. Show that you never learn. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Rather than around or run for your life, reach for the stars. Cheated friends and cheated yourself. Natural incinerator, the gates of hell, the gates of hell.
White Trash Revival, episode 55, right here on Section86.com. I got a good show lined up for y'all tonight. I went to the Coney Island Cockabilly Roadshow Sunday night that just passed, and it was fucking awesome. Numerous bands there, a fucking circus sideshow, burlesque dancers. Holy fuck, you should have seen this clown with purple hair and an ass that would not quit. My God. On the way home, I smoked my wiener and made a mess of my pants. But enough of that. I went up there and met up with Jason and Polly Punkneck, and I hung out with their bass player, Artie Elmer, also. Had a real good time with them. Hung out with the Illustrated Penguin, an entertainer of the Squidling Brothers Circus Sideshow. Interviewed, I interviewed a whole lot of people. Viva La Vox, Hickory Hawkins, and Ben, the gentleman that runs the Cockabilly Road Show. So, how about we get in this first set? Oh, but before that, the song I opened up the show with was The Three Kings, a nice band out of Germany, with a song called Natural Born Sinner. And that is what I am. I'm a natural born sinner. I broke all 10 commandments, should I say, before I was 13 years old. So that means I was a bad motherfucker before I got hair on my dick. Yes, Lord! Alright, well, let's get in this first set. I want to thank you guys for stopping by. Cheers once again. Let's crack one open. You're listening to the White Trash Revival, motherfuckers.
Well, now sometimes those drugs don't work. Oh, but sometimes they work too well. Sometimes you're looking at heaven, baby. Sometimes you're touching hell. But I don't know what time this is. When I come to you, I'll let you know. If it was better at the top or somewhere.
Dollar bill, man. There's some spooky stuff going on a dollar bill, man. Yeah. I mean, and it's green, too.
Early on this morning, I came upon a fine young horse. led him onward. He was gray as the sky, as the sky above. Slept down by the river, and what a sad dream I had. I'm afraid, my love, it must be true. Today I will go and leave you. Today I will be gone. I woke in surrounded. Nine of the law stood before me, asking me my name and business, demanding proof of me, demanding proof of me. No, but you must give us that horse. You must give us that roan gray horse. Listen, he ain't for sale. If that should happen, none would be safe. Even the birds would be afraid to fly. So they asked again, what was my name?
Enjoy living together, but dying together isn't going to solve anything.
we started this set right here with the Judy Chops with a song called Drugs. Now that's something I know nothing about. Not fucking love drugs. You give me any kind, I will do it. That's how I fucking roll. We'll follow that with 16 Horsepower with the song called Outlaw's Song. A little something different for you, and I sure hope you dig it and appreciate it. Hell yeah. And ending this set was Hill Stomp with Mama Told Papa. What'd that bitch tell him? Take out the trash, mow the grass. That's all it's told at my house. I'll never hear no. Come on to bed and eat this pussy, Donnie. Come on to bed and hit me in my ass. Never. Fucking bitch. Oh, fuck, man. I'm just sitting here drinking some Steel Reserve online. All that shit. You know that show? The Cockabilly. Well, actually, the Coney Island Cockabilly Roadshow is awesome. If it's coming near you, you motherfuckers need to get there because it's a sweet, kick-ass show. And all the artists on the bill were so fucking cool and down to earth. They mingled with the crowd, kicked it with you, you know?
Crack one open. Cheers, you guys.
And, I mean, it was fucking phenomenal. Hanging out with the Punknecks. You know, Jason Punknecks, underrated. The motherfucker is so talented. Play a mandolin, guitar, writes a great song, and has a fucking smoking hot wife. You know what I'm saying? So this show right here is episode 55, the Coney Island Cockabilly Roadshow Show. I know this week I was supposed to have on Curtis Eller, but I had to bump it back a week, so I will get to him. The interview's done, and it's ready to go. So, I'm going to get in a song here, and I'm not quite sure by whom. Let me see here. Let me look on my my list, motherfuckers, since I got a shitload of music up in this biatch. How about I get into a song by... Fuck. How about... some shit off the new Merle Haggard CD. And on the other end of that... will be my interview with Ben. The man behind the Coney Island Cockabilly Roadshow. So... here comes some Merle, motherfuckers. Off of his CD... I am what I am. So, enjoy!
We're falling in love again after all these years. We're smiling for real again after all these tears. Somehow life took its toll and caused us to frown, and the weight on our shoulders took us all the way down. But the children are grown now as our sunset appears. We're falling in love again after all these years. Thank you.
having good times again in old honky-tonk bars. Staying out late again, making love neath the stars. Slow dancing together to an old country band, caressing your fingertips and holding your hand. The children are grown now as our sunset appears. We're falling in love again after all these years.
All right, with me now I have Ben, the guy behind the Coney Island Cockabilly Road Show. How you doing, Ben?
Doing good.
So tell me how this all came about.
The road show itself is it's an extension of something that we were doing in Coney Island for a bunch of years. Just a bunch of country punk bands and sideshow freaks and burlesque girls. At the end of every summer over Labor Day weekend, we do a big four-day music and arts festival out there. And it's been coming along pretty well, kind of snowballing under its own inertia. And a lot of the guys wanted to go on the road. We thought maybe we'd just add a couple of dates, you know, try it out in a couple other towns. And one thing led to another, and it's turned into 40 stops over 6 weeks now. So basically, it's the same thing as what we do out in Coney. Got a traveling crew, the Squidlin Brothers Circus Sideshow, and some burlesque girls, and just some great bands touring.
And this is the first year you've decided to take it on the road, huh?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's all going to be leading up to the big end of summer celebration out in Coney. It's like a long road home, you know? So we started out from New York and, you know, heading out here and just went through Buffalo, going to go down to New Orleans, down around Florida, come up the East Coast, and be pulling into Coney Island the Friday of Labor Day weekend.
Now, are you the one that started it originally when you were just doing it in New York?
Yeah, it actually, the whole thing started just, you know, we were playing in our band, the Holy Roller Sideshow. We just wanted to play out on the boardwalk in Coney Island. We thought it would be a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon. And at the time, we had the good fortune of meeting a lady named Jen Gapay, who was managing entertainment for Astroland Amusement Park before it was torn down. And she got us a beautiful stage right on the boardwalk. Because we had it for 8 hours, we figured, what the hell, we invited some of our friends to come out. And pretty much one thing led to another, and then we got a bunch of burlesque girls who wanted to do something, but you can't do anything out on the boardwalk. So we ended up booking a night gig as well, you know, to follow up the day gig so that we could do some burlesque. And by the time the festival actually happened the first year, we had over 40 bands, 4 days of events, over 50 burlesque girls from all over the country, and just a whole crew of sideshow folks working it. So it's all kind of been like that. I mean, we kind of pushed the pedal a little bit, and by the time it got to the bottom of the hill, it was, you know, it was a boulder. So.
Now, are you going to continue to do it like this year, travel?
Yeah, that's the hope, man. That's the hope. I mean, it's, you know, third day of tour right now, so it's still early on, but the dream is to leave a little bit earlier next summer, make it out to the West Coast, maybe do some Canada dates, Vancouver. Things like that, Montreal maybe, and, you know, swing back around, do the whole country this time, and then in the fall, right after the Coney Island dates, we want to try to make a move for Europe, get over to England, and see if we can add a little European extension onto this thing.
So what would be your goal with this?
I think it's kind of an end unto itself, you know, like this is the goal right here. I mean, sitting here on a Sunday afternoon with a bunch of bands in another town, you know, drinking cold beer and getting ready to play some rock and roll.
So you don't have no aspirations to get big, like Warped Tour or nothing like that?
No, I mean, it's not like we don't want people to come out and listen to the music. I mean, that's why people, here comes Evil of Us. I mean, all these guys want to play for people, you know, but it's more of a family thing, you know. It's like you get a bunch of crew of people living out on the road together, working together, living together. And, you know, yeah, I mean, we want to, you know, we don't want to be sponsored by Pepsi, but, you know, I mean, I definitely think, you know, it's, we want people to come out at the same time. So it's a fine balance. You know how it is. People start out with original ideas. They get to be too popular, and then somebody realizes that they can make money off of it. And then it gets way too big, and you just get dragged through the marketplace, so you're not worth anything anymore, and then you get spit out.
Yeah, everything sucks once it gets commercialized.
Yeah, I mean, that's the telltale, man. Everyone knows that, and everyone's seen it happening for years, and we all know it, you know. But at the same time, I mean, it endures, like the spirit of the music endures because people, you know, love it, and people play it because they want to play the music and, you know, make it happen, so.
So tell me about the band you got playing and traveling and how you hooked up with all these guys.
Well, let's see. Starting off, Guitar Bomb is a band that's worked with us for years. They're a two-piece outfit out of Brooklyn, New York, and they play some just nasty punk blues, just some really, really good rock and roll. Hickory Hawkins, he's like a kind of a punk hillbilly solo artist that we met also out in Coney Island. He came out and played for us last year. And he wasn't even on the bill, actually. He just showed up, called me the night before the show and said, hey, man, I just want to play. You know, you don't have to pay me or nothing. Can I get a little bit of stage time? I probably operate one of the least exclusive, you know, entities in the entire business. Like, well, pretty much, as long as you got some element of country or blues to your music, I mean, we'd love to have you play, you know? But he played, and by the time he got off stage, I mean, our sound man nearly fell out of his chair because he was laughing so hard. I mean, Hickory's just a very creative, very funny person. And so he came on board for this tour. And we also got Jason and the Punk next. They played for us back in 2008. Jason and Paul, these are just some road-weary, hard-working musicians. I mean, they basically, you know, have no home, effectively. The road is their home. They live out here full-time, play night to night to night, probably close to 300 shows a year, if not more. And, you know, got this great, you know, kind of drunken honky-tonk love story that goes on stage, so... You know, they're just naturally a great fit for what we're doing. This other band, Viva La Vox, is a newer band that's coming up. But man, oh man, are they entertaining. They're just a great, great bunch of guys. They play their own blend of kind of creepy, surrealistic carnival, almost Tom Waits, Hog Hall, and Stomp kind of stuff. It's just truly, truly some cool rock and roll. And they just got on board. They were one of the last bands to come in, and we honestly couldn't be happier that they're here. I mean, they're just a perfect fit for what we're doing, and I've just been delivering a hell of a show. And then my band's just a little three-piece, kind of like, you know, punk blues, country, trash outfit. I mean, we just play some crunchy rock and roll called the Holy Roller Sideshow. We're also out of Brooklyn. So that's the five bands, and then we got a sideshow crew out of Philadelphia, the Squidlin Brothers Circus Sideshow. It's piloted by Jelly Boy the Clown, who's worked with us for years out in Coney Island. He's just a hell of a performer, and his whole family, Baron Von Geiger and Betty Bloomers, Penguin Boy, Matter Squidling, and they'll spring along Haley Jane, who's doing all the bless for us this summer. And yeah, so that's the crew that stands.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun summer. So tell me, is there anything else on your plate or in the future we should be on the lookout for?
I think for us right now, hey, what's going on, man? Everything good?
Yeah.
Good. You know, I think for right now, like, we got a pretty, you know, our plate's heaped pretty high. So, you know, just we're going to keep focused on doing our, you know, kind of keeping the arts and music in Coney Island and keeping rock and roll and you know, good music is part of the, you know, part of the scene out in Coney. I mean, the politics of Coney Island is definitely a major incentive for us to start this thing. And a lot of people don't know about what's going on there with them ripping down the amusement parks and rebuilding it, and just basically the corporate turf war that's been going on out there. And really a lot of what we focus on doing is keeping arts and keeping music and culture and burlesque and vaudeville and all those elements, you know, alive and bringing them into Coney. And, you know, so we're going to keep focusing on that and then just, you know, developing and growing this roadshow and trying to make it into our own personal Frankenstein, you know, get it up and walking around looking for friends, I guess, you know, like what Frankenstein does.
Hell yeah. Well, I like everything I see so far, and I can't wait to see everything else tonight.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for coming out. I appreciate it.
No problem. And thank you for taking the time out to do this interview with me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hope to see you in Coney Island sometime.
Yes, sir.
Buzz Construction.
Yeah, who's speaking?
Wilma.
Is Joe, is he the owner?
Yeah.
Is he there?
Are you a salesman?
No, I need to talk to him about a problem I have.
Okay, he just don't like to talk to salesmen. Hang on just a minute.
All right.
He is one romantic soul, isn't he? He is Doug Stone and made for loving.
Hello.
Who is this?
This Joe.
Listen, this is Roy D. Mercer. I'm calling you from Elk City.
Yep.
Listen, I was in there, my boy was in there the other day, and got some gas in there.
Yes, sir?
We had a problem with it.
Oh, you did?
Yep. He got out there on the interstate out there, east Elk City, and it broke down.
Huh.
Yep. It's bad gas.
Well, boy, Roy, I sure ain't had no trouble.
Well, I tell you what, that ain't half of it. He's out there trying to thumb a ride into town to get his car towed off.
Yeah.
And a busload of hippies pull over and give him a ride.
Yeah.
Well, it ain't funny.
Well, what happened?
Well, I guarantee you, they got him back here in that van and got beer in him and got him hopped up on that marijuana.
Well, my God.
Well, it was. It's awful.
Well, Roy, I'm sure sorry. I'll just complain to my gas jobber and let him pass the word on.
Well, there's going to be a little more than a complaint involved because they went in there and drove him into Weatherford, and they convinced him to go in there, and they robbed his restaurant there yesterday.
Well, hell.
That's what I say.
I sure don't know what to tell you.
Well, I guarantee you, it all boils down to bad gas.
Yeah.
If he'd hadn't think about that gas there and hadn't broke down, them hippies wouldn't have picked him up, and he wouldn't have been involved in no robbery.
Boy, Roy, I sure can't help you on none of that.
Well, then you're going to get an ass-whooping then.
Well, that's fine. Just come on.
I'm coming down there today.
Well, I'm sure sorry to tell you, but I can't do that. I can't rent his life for him.
Well, you gonna be there and be ready for an ass-whooping?
Just whatever it takes. I'll be around.
Because I guarantee you, I had to tow his truck in there.
Well, Roy, I'm not going to be liable for any of his problems, personal problems. I'm sure sorry about it.
Well, by God, he wouldn't be doing that if he didn't have broke down out there.
Well, I don't even know you, so I'm...
Well, you're getting ready to know me.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, how long has it been since you had a good old country ass whoop?
Well, I don't know. I just tell you, come up here, you'll probably be in jail.
What do you look like?
I don't know. I don't have time for you, sir.
What kind of...
Good morning, Post Construction.
I was talking to Joe when I got cut off her.
Okay, he's in his Suburban, and he said if anybody called for him, to just have him call him there.
Hello?
Is this Joe?
Yeah.
Listen, this is Mr. Mercer from Elk City calling you.
Yes, sir.
And I damn sure need to get a hold of you and get this took care of. Listen, my boy had a vintage 68 Camaro SS. It's silver and black.
What'd you get you a lawyer there, Roy?
Well, you may want to need to get you a doctor.
I'd be all right.
Well, I guarantee you now, we got some bills, some towing bills to get took care of, and he's accessory to robbery there at Jerry's restaurant in Wallace.
Maybe I'll send him up.
Well, now then we got another problem to deal with. He don't look good in orange. It ain't funny.
Well,
listen, I guarantee you now one of them old boys that was in that van that hippies that picked him up.
Yeah.
He said, I think he said that he was from Tulsa. Said his name was Brent.
All right, I'm here in the Punk Neck van with Polly, Jason, and Artie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to interview Polly. How are you doing, Polly?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. We just pulled into Columbus, Ohio. It's our third day on the Cockabilly Road Show. Cockabilly Records out of Coney Island's putting it on, and it's a bunch of bands, really awesome bands, and some burlesque and some awesome dive show. So I'm pretty stoked.
Hell yeah. So tell me about your side project, the Hillbilly Harlots.
Oh, yes, the beautiful women. Very talented women that can play music and look beautiful at the same time. They're out of Nashville. It's kind of a newer thing I'm doing. And, we're having a lot of fun with right now. Right now we just been recording a little bit, playing some new songs, and playing a couple shows in Nashville and surrounding areas. And we just played the Muddy Roots Festival down in Tennessee.
Now, let me ask you this. How are you going to play shows with them when the Punknecks do so many shows a year?
See, this is my plan. Drum roll, please. All right. I'm going to take the Harlots on the road with the Punknecks. At least that's my evil plan that I'm trying to create right now.
You think they could handle all that touring?
I sure hope so.
So how did they come together and how'd they approach you?
Oh, how'd they come together?
It's a confidential arrangement.
That is a confidential arrangement. In fact, I can't disclose that right now.
It's a top secret stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm, sure is.
Cruising down I-95, had to make a show. I spotted a demon, he was standing on the side of the road. I pulled over and I offered a ride. He got in and said thanks for the ride. Then he offered a deal just for my soul, sign down on the dotted line. You're doing good, you'll be doing fine. Just sit right there and live a life of sin. To me every single day. Most normal people don't think exist. I've done my fair share of right and wrong. I keep singing, traveling, doing all my songs. And the devil, he owns my soul.
And this time I finally get it. He is selling drugs to these artists. and I didn't know it. I was on a drug run with this stranger in Hollywood, and I said, well, you know, I really am genuine about going on this little trip to get food, because I'm a food lover. So I said, well, maybe I can speed him up, and I'll go to the next tattoo shop, because I know that's where he's going. So I left him there, and I went to the next tattoo shop and started looking at some, you know, art on the wall. And all of a sudden, from out the back of this tattoo shop, this tall, southern, big eyelashed man comes out and starts talking to me. And it was Jason Pumpnick. And we start talking, and he says, well, I got a guitar in the back, and I'm going to play you a song on Hollywood Boulevard. I said, okay. So we go out to the curb right there on the stars, and he plays me a song, and I was like, that's pretty cool. And then I said, let me see that guitar, and let me play you a song, buddy. So I played him a song, and he fell in love with me, and they were actually already in the studio. The Pumpnicks were already together in the studio in Hollywood, and he said, you know, if you're interested, why don't you come by tomorrow and get a CD and see if you want to, you know, sing some harmonies with this. And I tried to act pretty cool, you know, and all good, and I was so excited. I had my car stolen at the time, so I had to bike ride there, which was like 7 miles from where I lived, and I was biking so fast on this mountain bike down this Hollywood hill, and I'm coming up upon this bus bench, and I had to swerve, you know, or else I was going to hit it. Well, I swerved, and I ran into this freaking pole, this telephone pole, and I flew off my bike, and I'm skidding on my knees up and stuff, and I'm like, great. I got to go and be all out of breath and all skinned up to go meet this guy, grab a CD, and act like I don't give a shit, but I really did, and I went there, and that's kind of where it all began, really.
Needless to say, it's been 24 hours a day.
That's right.
6 years.
That's pretty romantic.
I'll be in line.
how'd your folks take it when you brought this tattooed guy here to meet him?
You know, it's funny. They came out to visit me in Hollywood when I'd already joined the band, and I didn't tell him it was my boyfriend at the time. I just said, yeah, we're in the band together, and, you know, I just kind of, I guess maybe I already knew that maybe they'd have an issue with it. Maybe not. Maybe I thought they wouldn't. I don't know.
We were too nervous around them, so they knew.
After, you know, we'd gotten together, they didn't really have much to say, and then we started living together, and they didn't say much, and then I went on the road with them, and they were a little worried, and they had some issues with it, but they let that go on for a couple more years, and when we finally decided to get married, that's when they really freaked out.
No, everybody did.
Yeah, they sure did. They said, oh my God, it's not a phase.
All right, well, let's get back to the music. Your voice is probably one of the nicest voices I've heard on a female singer, and I think that your voice is probably better than most women that are in country music, like played on CMT and stuff like that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're quite welcome. Do you think that if you went like that way into pop country that you could make it big?
You know what? If I ever did that, I would bring real edge. That's right. They think they know edge. Now that, I don't know. That's a, I would try to change a lot of things.
Yeah, because that music scene pretty much fucking sucks. But, I mean, your voice is better than probably all them ladies on Country Music Network and all that. But, I wouldn't want to see you do that. I like where you're at.
Well, I don't want to disappoint you there, buddy. But it's not a natural voice by any means. I've been singing since I was little. I've been doing choir and in school and church, and I did musical theater my whole life growing up, and, you know, voice lessons for years, and I would love to still have a voice teacher now just to keep my voice in the best shape possible, because it takes a lot of wear and tear in these bars. A lot of, like, in America, half and half, it's still smoking inside, which I want everyone to have their freedom to do what they want to do. That's the American way, for sure. But it really fucks me up sometimes, my throat, when I'm sucking in all this carbon dioxide trying to sing. And then, of course, you know, I do things to it, like drink a little bit of alcohol and talk really loud to everybody in the bar afterwards. So I help blow my voice a lot, but I'm constantly hoarse. I'm constantly on the verge of laryngitis. It's probably the most depressing thing in my life.
Yeah, it'd suck if you lost your voice.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you this. Growing up, who was some of your favorite artists?
Well, I listened to a lot of show tunes. I fell in love with that really classical theater voice first, probably. And then I was raised on a lot of underground folk and bluegrass. So it's a lot of artists that the names may not even be known, but that definitely inspired me. And then I started getting into a lot of female artists. A lot of female artists, you know, PJ Harvey and Fiona Apple and Tracy Bonham and even Gwen Stefani when she was in No Doubt. I really loved it. Well, she's got a beautiful voice still, for sure. And, you know, there was some Janis in there and some older stuff, you know, that older rock heart, you know. But a lot of women. I love women. Women totally turn me on. When I see a female performer, I get really excited. I get really excited.
So who's some of your favorite that are doing it now?
Oh, you know, I really liked Amy Winehouse when she was out there for a second. She has a pretty badass voice. That's kind of some of the stuff in more of the mainstream, but I would say I listen to the Pierces, and I think they're Ripley from Alabama. They're these sisters that do this really neat folk rock, you know, paranormal topic.
Gothic,
you know, really, really neat sounding, interesting music, and it's these two beautiful sisters, the Pierces. And I listen to a little Cissé, and they're out of New York. It's kind of like this female singer that does half of it in English, half of it in Spanish, and then it's like these electronic beats, And I really love Tracy Bonham still. And I got a couple girls in my punk rock bands out there, the Burninators, Angry Puddin', Dirty D, and Sweaty Meat. Those are some of the girls I'm listening to right now.
Okay. Now, how about life on the road? You guys do a lot of fucking traveling. Does it ever get old?
You know what? Seeing the country never gets old. In fact, you get so used to wanting to see the sky and the geography around you passing you by and those long stretches of highway. You get around it so often all the time, and, you know, year after year, when you're away from it for a while, you miss that. So I don't ever get tired of the highway. I get tired of driving. I get tired of driving sometimes, but I love riding.
All right, well, let me ask you this. I know if me and my wife are together for 24 hours, we pretty much want to choke each other. How do you guys tolerate each other? I mean, there's nowhere to go. You're in the van or you're playing and you're always together. How do you get a break from one another?
Well, we're pretty codependent, and so being together all the time isn't a bad deal. But yeah, sure, you want to choke each other, and then you do, and then you talk about it, and then get over it, and you move on. And then, you know, that's relationships. You there's going to be those hard times, for sure, no matter how much time you spend together. And it's about moving forward. We both have a lot of the same goals. We're doing the same thing. We want the same thing, you know. We work really well as a team, and we enjoy spending time together. We still make each other laugh and pissed off, and we're really passionate people. So when we're angry, we're really angry, and when we're happy, we're really, really happy. So we just do it.
So when you guys fight, whose side does Artie take?
You know, he's really smart. He gets on his phone and walks away.
That's how you do it. All right, well, thank you for taking the time to do this, and I have one question for Jason. Am I as handsome in person as I sound on the phone?
I think you look better in Artie's beard.
Maybe I'll snuggle up that later this evening.
right, Donnie fucking Cash and Hickory Hawkins, take two. All right, so how long have you been playing country, Hickory?
About 15 years. Started in a punk band, then started doing the country thing.
And how many CDs do you have out?
I got five. There's Anarchy Tennessee, Unleashed, The Hell I Am, Fastest Man Alive, Last Outlaw, and I think there's one more that I can't remember right now.
Now, are you on a record label, or are you pretty much independent?
Independent. I was on a record label, and they fucked me over, so I had to get lawyers on them, and so right now I'm not working with any kind of record label.
How did you hook up with the Coney Island Cockabilly Roadshow?
I played the festival at Coney Island last year, and Ben, the guy that puts it on from Cockabilly Records, dubbed me, so he asked me to do the tour this year.
Some people ask me, Hickory, what's your price? Some people tell me, probably way too high. Some people ask me how it came to be. Some old dirty crossroad, something dark found me. While never one tells me, see an early grave. But I
music.
Well, when I was a kid, When I was a kid, I was raised on wrestling in Hee-Haw, and so watching Buck Owens on Hee-Haw, you know, he had all the pretty women around him in short shorts and pantyhose, and they were all just falling over Buck Owens, so I decided I was probably never going to be big enough in stature to be a professional wrestler, so I could try to be Buck Owens, and all the ladies in the short shorts would want to come hear me sing, so that that's what started that.
Hell yeah. All right, so let's name is some pretty well-known artists you've shared the stage with.
David Allen Coe, Hank III, Unknown Henson, which are all people that are not very nice to their fans, and I don't think they're good artists or good people at all. And Southern Culture on the Skids that I'm really tight with, good friends of mine. Mudhoney, for some reason. Years ago in Atlanta, we opened up for Mudhoney, and actually the crowd liked us. Mudhoney didn't like us, but still trying to figure that one out. But that's those guys are the biggest names, and then pretty much anybody who's done like alternative country or rockabilly, and even some death metal bands. So that's pretty much that.
So how is the country scene up there in New York?
Actually, there's more of a country scene up north in the big cities than there is down south, because actually people up in New York actually do want to hear original honky-tonk music, whereas more people in the south and the Midwest would rather just hear Kenny Chesney all the time, and if you're not singing Kenny Chesney songs, they'd rather not hear you.
Brand new guitar, did they throw a parade when you came through the gate? Did you ride in on a Cadillac Star? I could see you and nobody, Holly, just a laughing and acting like kids. Oh, well, I know I never met you. You taught me more than anybody else did. Well, you played it your way, gave them hell to pay, and you never apologized. Tried keeping you down, ran you out of town, but you wouldn't let old outlaws die. I just wanted to tell you goodbye. You wouldn't live.
goodbye. Hey, Waylon, I just had to tell you goodbye.
All right, Hickory, how could people get a hold of you to buy your music or book a show or whatever?
Get me on Facebook. It's, facebook.com/HickoryHawkins. And, that way, or just Google me on the web, and it'll take you to whatever website I'm on. Also, you can order my stuff also for download at blastmymusic.com. So you can do that and come to the shows and buy actual CDs from me.
All right, I got one last question, Hickory, and please don't take offense to this, but is that all you down there? It looks like you got a fucking bowling pin in your pants.
Yeah, it's just tight pants. I mean, you can't help it. You can't really hide it.
I've wore fucking spandex pants. I've never looked like that, brother.
Yeah, but, well, I'm a short guy, so that sounds weird, but, I like to wear pants that fit, because I don't like wearing baggy pants, because then I look like some kind of midget rapper in a cowboy hat, so I don't do that. I like to wear clothes that fit.
Hell yeah, brother. Well, thank you for doing this interview.
Thank you, brother. Where'd that even come from?
My country guitar picking man. Honey, don't you wanna ride in my beat up truck? I gotta hit the road just to make a buck. Hey, little mama, can't you understand? I want you to know that I'm a country guitar picking man. Well, every single night is another show. I never seen it. See, I'm a country guitar picking man. Country guitar picking man. I'm a country guitar picking man. Country guitar picking man.
Hell yeah, that was Hickory Hawkins' music, man, in his interview. Fuck, I don't know where he's been hiding. He's been around for a while. He's got like 5-6 CDs, but, that's the first time I heard him up there at the show. And, he's got me sold. I'm a huge fucking fan, and you folks need to check out Hickory Hawkins. Now, the songs I played during his interview was, the first one was Sold My Soul When Ain't Got Paid, and the second one was Waylon, and the last one was Country Guitar Picking Man, and it's off his CD, The Hell I Am. So, get his shit and put it in your collection, man. Motherfucker's talented. And not only is he talented in music, but he's packing a fucking jalopy between his legs, I'll tell you that. If you go to a show, check it out. I am not lying. And I'm not queer. Because when you do homosexual acts for pay, you are not gay. It's a hustle. You know? Alright, well, I think this next interview here I'm going to play for you is going to be with Artie Elmer, the bass player from Jason the Punk Next, and I'm going to play a song or two from his previous band, D.B. Cooper and the Hard Cash Boys, They were not at the Coney Island Cockabilly Road show, but Artie was there strumming that bass, and I'm going to play a couple tunes since they were one of the first groups to ever send me music when I started my internet radio show here. And if Coney Island Cockabilly Road show rolls to a town near you, I suggest you folks get out there for a great fucking time, because you'll see some great music and meet some great artists, and they'll mingle with you no matter how goofy the fuck you are. Look at me. I was probably the goofiest fucker there, and they treat me like family. Show enough. Show enough.
Alright, I'm with Artie Elmer, bass player of Jason the Punk, Max Who, and Artie.
Doing good, man. How about yourself?
Doing real good. How long have you been growing that nice, handsome beard of yours?
I'd say I've got about a year and 3 weeks in on it.
How many times have you burned it, being fucked up?
I let some people purposely burn it about a week and a half ago in St. Louis. It balled up a little bit, but it didn't take much off, maybe about a half inch or so.
So how is tour and life on the road with the punk necks?
Oh, man, it's something else, man. It's great times every night. And, Sure, for sure. Oh, man, it's something else. You'd have to be there, man. There's nothing like touring with these guys. They're just two really good people, you know, married and stuff like that. And, man, I don't even know what to say. It's a good time.
So are you going to stick with them for a while, or what are you going to do?
Yeah, man. The plan is right now, you know, I'm new, but I'm looking to go with them for the long haul, you know, looking to join permanently. It's not in stone yet, but, you know, we get tighter every day, you know, and it's looking like it's going to go there.
So tell me about this fancy bass you got. How is that different from the regular upright?
I don't know how it's any different from the regular upright. I've played one of those a couple of times, but I went straight from electric bass to built my own washtub. You know, I'm too poor to, in a drug addict, and I can't afford to buy an upright bass. Those things are pretty expensive. So I just built my own. You know, I had a local, I'm from Kansas, had a local bass player, Jeff Eaton, with Squid Lip Rayfield, big influences on me and stuff like that, and just, you know, looked around the internet, kind of got a couple ideas, and came up with a two-string stand-up washtub. You know, I guess it's really not that different, you know, just E&A, two strings.
Well, that's awesome. He was also in a band prior to this, and you sent me a CD when I first started my show.
Yeah, that was D.B. Cooper and our Cash Band. We're based out of Kansas, currently on a indefinite hiatus from playing. But, you know, we're all doing our separate things right now. And, yeah, we're like kind of a darker folk with a little bit of rockabilly and just rock and roll. A lot of punk influences in on that and stuff. But yeah, man, check out D.B. Cooper and the Hard Cash Band from Southeast Kansas. Really good stuff. Get on the internet and tell them to get their asses to tear out down the road for me.
Now, if they get back out there, what are you going to do?
I don't know. We're definitely all friends. They know the punk next, too. You know, there ain't no reason we can't all go out together. You know, be one big happy family.
So how is the music scene out there in Kansas?
Kansas, I would say central to eastern, really good folk, underground folk scene there, just Midwestern bluegrass, really good scene, especially Lawrence, Kansas, Wichita, Kansas City and stuff. You get out to western Kansas very much, so you can't hold it against them.
All right, my last question here, Artie, is how many women out there on the road are groupies and want a beard ride from Artie Elmer?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I get my fair share. You know, I can't complain. You know, I stay pretty happy in that department. You know, they're all really nice. So.
Hell yeah, brother. Well, thank you.
Looks like your sister gone and thrown me in jail. Don't forget about the letters that I sent in the mail. I meant every word on every single page. Don't forget that I love you today. Looks like I'll rot in prison all by myself, thinking of every time I held you so close. It breaks my heart the way they took me away. Don't forget that I love you today. Busted in with loaded weapons through my bedroom door. We were between the sheets, under the covers. I'll never forget the look on your crushed face. Don't forget that I love you today. They tell me to put on some clothes and they slapped on the cuffs. You were crying hysterically and yelling, what the fuck? They found 3 ounces and said, boy, you're gonna pay. Then they took time to think about it, many, many days. Time's all I have. Please listen to what I say. Don't forget that I love you today. From the first time my eyes ever laid upon you, you were the one no one else would ever do. I love you my whole life, even after I'm in the grave. Don't forget that I love you today. Don't forget that I love you today.
And that was Letters from Prison by Artie Elmer's old band, D.B. Cooper and the Hard Cash Band. So, let's carry on, my wayward son, with Tales from the Road. Or should I say, Tales from the Road Show, motherfuckers.
Shut the fuck up! You speak when fucking spoken to, okay? This is not fucking high school, motherfucker!
Alright, with me is Mike Devine from Guitar Bomb. How's it going, brother?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. So tell me, how you and your band came about?
Well, the club first started, I was originally a solo act, and I was doing mostly like acoustic stuff, but I also had some drum beats that I had sampled that I was doing. I kind of hated that though. I didn't like playing with machines, just for like sex machines. Those are cool, but I'm not really into doing it with the drums. So eventually I got Matt on board, and it's much better, the two piece. We've been playing together this unit for about 2 years now, traveling around doing this kind of thing.
And you guys are from New York, right?
Yeah, we're both from Brooklyn.
All right, well, how'd you hook up with the Coney Island Cockabilly Road Show?
Well, actually, I was actually playing a festival down in North Carolina called the Heavy Rebel Weekend, and I saw a flyer for this Coney Island thing at the festival. I was like, oh shit, there's a Coney Island thing going on. I was like, I live right around there. So I got a hold of the band and I told them that I saw the flyer for this festival he's putting together. And we had somebody who dropped out at the last minute and he asked to play, and we've done it. This will be our third year in a row coming this Labor Day. And we just keep coming back. It's a good time. It's a good crew of people, a lot of good
So how do you like the traveling circus they're doing this year?
It's great. It's a trip, man. It's definitely a spectacle. You know, we all have our own vehicles, and we arrive in each city, and next thing you know, there's a bunch of us out on the street, and freaks walking around, and, you know, we're all just kind of hanging out everywhere we go, trying to make a scene and get people to come in. And then, you know, it's fun getting up there and then watching the acts in between the bands, and it's a little bit chaotic at times, but it's real fun, you know, like while we're setting up there, breaking glass, swinging bowling balls up their chins, and doing stuff like that while we're trying to get ready, so it's a little bit crazy. But it's great. Awesome.
So, how's the tour so far? I know it's just the beginning.
Going good, you know. It kicked off real strong in Brooklyn and Buffalo. We've been doing some weekday shows, so those are usually a little more quiet, but it's still, you know, we're trekking along. We're heading down, making our way down to New Orleans and Baton Rouge in the next couple days on the weekend. And then we start heading back east towards Florida and, you know, make our way up the coast there.
And
we'll be back in New York again.
And that's going to be a happy ending, right? Like when you go to a massage parlor?
I hope so. Ben can arrange a happy ending at the end of this thing. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Or maybe a couple on the way would be good, too.
Hell yeah.
At least a couple. And you didn't mention any of that when we were talking about negotiating the pay and all that, but maybe I can, you know, I'll talk to him again. You want to be able to play something for him.
So who's the coolest motherfucker traveling with you guys?
The
Kurt Hawkins.
And that's
not us using the van with it for sharing the van, and he's a character, this guy. I'm trying to teach him a few guitar licks. He's a little lacking on the guitar, but he's teaching me his ways with the ladies. We're trying to trade off knowledge with each other here.
I'll tell you what, the other day up in Columbus,
yep,
when I met Hickory, I couldn't help it but to keep staring at his crotch, man.
Yeah, he's got an enormous penis.
It was rather hypnotizing. I tried to go in the bathroom with him, but there was only one stall, and,
I saw it by accident the other day.
Oh, man.
All the way down into his boot.
I complimented him on it in the interview, and he just said, "Oh, my pants are tight." And I told him I wore spandex before, and mine never looked like that. But I'm a fan of Hickory.
Yeah, he's great.
So, would you consider your stuff more blues or what? What?
Well, I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, what it all boils down to, it's rock and roll to me. I mean, it's definitely blues-based. There's a little bit of country in there. You know, and we throw in a little bit of metal and stuff here and there. I mean, I grew up listening to metal and punk and classic rock, so there's obviously a lot of that stuff going on here and there. You know, I just try to think of it like when I'm playing some stuff on a guitar, just try and make it like I'm a kid again and, like, try and write stuff that I would have liked listening to when I was a kid.
Well, I'm definitely a fan, and I'm glad I picked up a CD at the show. And
yeah, thanks for hooking it up. Thanks for getting one.
And where could folks pick something up from you guys?
I know we're on iTunes. You can pick stuff up there. If you go to our website, guitarbomb.com, there's info on there. There's a store on there, too, you can pick it up from. Yeah, I mean, that's about it. iTunes and off of our website. I think I'm on MySpace, too. You can get it.
Yeah, I think you guys are, too.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Everybody should pick one up. And we got a new one coming along soon. Before we went on the road, we just finished some stuff in the studio. We're probably going to go back in and do a little, like, last-minute things in there. And then hopefully we've got another disc by maybe the end of the year.
Okay. Now, do you guys ever add, like, more people in your band? I know it's just two of you, right?
Yeah. Occasionally we'll get a bass player in. My drummer Matt is in another band called the Sweet Ones, and our two bands tour a lot together, and they're a three-piece. They're kind of more punky sounding, and sometimes their bass player will come up and join us for a couple of our songs. He knows a few, and he actually came in the studio and threw some bass tracks down on a couple of the songs too. But we mostly just stick with the two-piece. We're like brothers almost.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Why should people come to the Coney Island Cockabilly Road Show?
Oh, man, I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's the best show in town. It's going to be the best show coming into every town that we roll into. You're going to see a lot of great bands, a great lineup. I mean, all the bands that we have on here, I'm having a great time because I get to watch great bands. You know, we got Mason the Plug next playing and Viva La Vox, Degree, Holy Roller Sideshow, and, it's just, it's been a blast having all these bands together and then doing this, guys, and meeting them and learning from them.
And I think everyone goes together well, even though everyone's got, like, different styles. It all forms nicely.
It's close enough that it works, but it's different enough that it keeps it interesting. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think that's about it, brother.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
No problem, my friend.
They are lethal enemies. One gets high, the other I don't know why he's stays with her. It seems strange to me. She said at first she was a professor, then she was an art seller. Now she's gonna be a reporter for a magazine. I don't know why she says, but no one seems to believe him. It seems strange to me. She said, I'm the latest, greatest mistake. No, 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 can't go to the Seattle Kills. There's a volcano and it's about to blow. I don't know why I just stay in Jonesboro. Walk on the tree, Christ on the cross. Pops to the Mississippi, Tangipoa, Bogalusa. Oh, I hope I lose you. From Oklahoma to Ohio, it ain't your Kansas, not Kansas, it's Arkansas. For Tomahawk, he's gone with his guitar. He sang songs about driving his car 100 miles an hour. He's a nudist that told him to his followers a real sick. Yeah, moving. Oh, go get a job pumping gas, bagging food, I don't care. Just bring some new. Don't mess with Texas. It's red, white, and blue. It's bigger than France. They got tumbleweeds. They got football fields. They're about to tell you. They got cowboys and punk rockers. Jesus lovers and bank robbers. They got old fields too. Oklahoma to Ohio, in your Kansas, not Kansas, it's Arkansas. From Oklahoma to Ohio, in your Kansas, not Kansas, it's Arkansas.
Interview with Mike from Guitar Bomb, a great fucking band out of New York, a little two-piece act, and awesome stuff, man. And the two songs I played from them were, the first one was Fist Fight with Jesus. Now, how well do you think you could do with a fist fight with Jesus? I think I'd fare quite well, as long as we had a rules set in stone before the fight. Like, he couldn't use no magical powers or have no help from God. It's just strictly one-on-one. I think I'd whoop his ass, because I think the holes in his hands are going to slow him down. He ain't going to have that good a hand speed as he once did. So, I think I could whoop him. Anyways, the second song was Oklahoma Till Ohio. And once again, folks, if the Coney Island Cockabilly Roadshow rolls to your town, get out there and see it. By far, it's the best show that's traveling around in the summer. So, definitely check it out. You will be impressed. So, let's go ahead and get into this last interview with Viva La Vox. And, yeah. That's right.
All right. With me, I have Viva La Vox. I have
Tony Bones. Poltergeist. Scarecrow Jenkins.
And Antoine is missing. All right, so how long have you guys been together?
Just about now it's 2 years.
2 years, and what does Viva La Vox mean?
It means long live the voice. It's a literal translation. the people and, you know, all the fucking cool motherfuckers that came before us. Johnny Cash and Joe Strummer and...
Lux Interior,
Robert Johnson, you know, all those guys.
Beefheart.
Spirit of rock and roll, baby.
And what would you consider your genre of music to be? Would you say it's gypsy punk or what?
The best one we heard so far, someone called it vaudeville swamp rock. I mean, I guess that's pretty accurate, but we just like to call it that latex-free rock and roll, you know what I mean?
You boys definitely got a unique sound. I totally dig it. How did you guys hook up with the Coney Island Rockabilly Roadshow?
We held on a gunpoint. It was a ransom situation mostly.
Now, you guys are from Florida, right?
Yeah, we're from Florida.
Southern Florida.
And how's the music scene down that way?
Pretty devoid. There isn't a whole lot. There's a couple good acts, though, down there. This band, Every Man's Real Good, they're kicking around down there.
Black Weather Shaman.
Angry Pudding. All sick fucking hard rock and punk bands. They're good.
Yeah.
Kill Now.
Everybody listen to Kill Now, right?
Laser
now.
Beast, if you like the sludge metal. And, what's that? What's Devin's new band? Guy Harvey.
Guy Harvey. Love Handles, yeah. Some good stuff.
Now, you guys friends with the goddamn Gallows?
Yeah, absolutely super good.
No. Those guys are fucking monsters.
Yeah, those guys, man. Fish Gut stole my hot dog the last time I saw him. I'm still mad about that.
Yeah, Mikey ate all my mac and cheese, that fucker.
Fish Gut gave me $1, so it's all good.
Yeah, it's cool.
We slept over this girl, so I woke up with Avery fucking humping my leg.
Yeah.
Fucking didn't even fucking say goodbye in the morning. Just fucking up and left.
That's pretty fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're fucked up bunch of guys.
Fucking scoundrels.
We love them.
Love them to death.
Love them to death, man. We wouldn't be... They really helped us out a lot, those guys. They helped us. They took us along on our first tour back in November with them and, you know, helped show us that, fuck, they could do it. Anybody can, I guess, right?
It was in a dog in a stinky-ass van, man. It sucked.
I bet them smells were horrendous.
Yeah, they were real bad. Taint, dude, in the whole van.
So let me ask you this. How you guys feel about the shit going on with Baby Genius and Quentin Price?
Oh, terrible.
Fucking horrible, man.
It's such a... I just still don't understand why they're holding them just based on one person's word against everybody else's. You know, I just think it's a real terrible situation, and I hope they come out of it, and I hope they countersue for all their losses and end up rich.
You should thoroughly interview any girl and her friends before taking one to the restaurant.
Yes, apparently.
Do your homework.
There's a compilation CD coming out to help support their defense fund. There's a bunch of really good bands on it.
Farmageddon Records. Motherfuckers Need Justice.
Yeah, we're on it. Sawyer Family, Black Eye Vermillion. Yeah, 357 String Band is on it. A shit ton of really good bands. They're all good friends of Baby G.
Jake Orvis.
Yeah, man. It's I think it's for pre-sale right now on the Farmageddon website. Everyone should buy a copy and help these fuckers get some justice, man, because this is fucking bullshit. Our hearts go out to the families of everybody involved.
Yeah, we know them well, man, and they're we know that they're good guys, and they should definitely not be in prison right now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that he's ugly as sin.
I don't know Quentin, but he seems alright.
Yeah,
we know Baby G well.
Yeah. Well, I had Mikey Classic on the show last week, and he was telling me the story, and it sounds pretty fucked up, and what it is, I think it's these boys got a different look. And the court system's going to try to fuck them just because they're different.
Yeah, it sounds like a rich white girl and her family is, you know, got it out for a bunch of punk rockers.
Having intercourse with creepy small kid with tattoos on
his yeah. And, you know,
if that even happened.
It must have been rapist. Obviously, she was held better.
Yeah, according to the stupid family.
Such an apparition.
Yeah. No, I think it's a case of guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is this shit?
Yeah, man.
Where do we live?
We're hoping, our best hopes is that he gets a trial and the judge throws it out based on all the huge mountain of evidence against this one girl statement and all these witnesses and all this, you know, shit going on. It is definitely just a kind of a look at him kind of a thing, you know? Like, it made fucking CNN and shit, you know?
CNBC.
CNBC or some whatever, you know? It was on the fucking news, you know? And It's just pretty much all it is, and hopefully, you know, the justice system will prevail, you know.
Every time some fucking folks got drunk and fucking did whatever they woke up in the
adults do.
Woke up in the morning and rolled over and fucking gasped, you know, fucking rolled on fucking CNN, you know, that's all you would see on the television.
Sum it up, man. We just hope.
We love those guys.
We love them to death, the heart. You know, we're definitely with Baby G in this, and you know, we're always here. If the guy at M. Gallo's call, we help and do anything we can, and it'll stay like that till we bring our boy home. You
know? God knows they've done it for us.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah! I hope them guys get out real soon, because it's a travesty that two innocent guys are in jail over some bullshit from a whore. And actually, that girl's giving whores a bad name.
I know, man. It makes me afraid to talk to them anymore.
No girls in Connecticut are ever going to be able to get laid by anybody in a rock band ever again.
Not without signing my waiver first.
That's right. Yeah.
Without Hickory Hawkins videotaping the entire scenario.
Which he has offered...
downstairs.
Oh, he's swinging pipe, man. I don't think he's stuffing either.
The whole interview, I was staring at his fucking cock, and I know them pants weren't fucking tight, I'll tell you that right now. I wore fucking spandex, and my dick's never stuck out like that. He'd make David Lee Roth jealous.
Big things come in small packages, man.
It must be. All right, so what can we expect from Viva La Vox here in the future?
A whole lot of disappointment.
we just jumped on Bucket City. With the, you know, goddamn Gallows are on there, Joe Buck's on there, so we're planning on touring a whole lot more. We got a West Coast tour in the works for next spring. We got another East Coast tour in November, in December. We're, you know, writing new music,
Yeah, our new CD just came out last month, Wayward Ones. It's got some new studio stuff, some live stuff, and
iTunes and CD, baby.
And, you know, yeah, like Paul said, we're writing a lot of new stuff and just trying to find the time to practice it. Hopefully have a new record out next year.
Yes, sir.
So how's this tour going so far?
Really good.
Yeah, it's been great. It's a fun fucking time. We toured on our own up to New York to meet the road show, and, you know, the Brooklyn show is the kickoff. It's fucking fun. Buffalo was fun, you know. Everyone that came out tonight seems really cool. You know, all the bands were playing. I mean, Jason and Punknecks, we've played with a few times with dear friends of ours.
It's impossible to have a bad time for 6 weeks. Spending 6 weeks with Jason Punknecks?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're having a bad time.
If you have a bad time, then you're just a bad person. Because that guy is more fun than you. He's nonstop day and night, that guy.
Yeah. He's the same guy no matter where he goes, too. I like that about him. And, you know, Guitar Bomb's fucking talented fucking
man,
band.
Really good.
Tough act to follow.
Make me want to get a job at Walmart.
yeah, I quit. And, you know, Holy Roller Sideshow's good. Ben put this whole thing together well. Hickory Hawkins is a fucking cartoon character, man. I can't get enough of him. And, you know, it's just a fucking, it's a great time. We're happy to be on. Squidling Brothers are fucking retarded.
Yeah. I like the little guy. What's his name, Mr. Penguin? And I'd have no problem helping him stick his cock in a lady when we double team her.
That's right. Eiffel Tower. Front and back.
All right, so which one of you boys plays the accordion?
That's me.
And did you play it in high school and stuff?
No, actually. I started playing like a few months before I joined up with Viva La Vox. My mom actually played accordion in South America when she was growing up, when she was a kid. I didn't find that out until like a few years ago. But, yeah, I started taking lessons from this little Italian guy in my neighborhood, and Tony.
He's Puerto Rican.
he was Italian. I remember.
Distinctly. Puerto Rican.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was a sweetheart. Yeah, I started I saw these fuckers playing on the sidewalk at a 24-hour laundromat, like when they first became a band, and decided to pick up the accordion and join.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's only a couple people that can make the accordion look cool. That's you, the goddamn Gallows, and Jason Webley.
Hell, dude. I love Jason Webley, man. That guy is fucking something else, man.
I'm trying to get him to come on my show. Hopefully he'll do it.
Yeah, man. Well, what's up, Jason Webley?
We'll threaten him when we see him.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll put you in chokehold while you talk to Don and Cash here. And then I will eat your brains and absorb your knowledge.
All right, so I take it you guys are zombie fans, right?
Yeah, we like that.
What did you think the last George Romero film, Survival of the Dead?
Oh, see that? Romero? No, I haven't seen that one yet.
Don't waste your time.
Oh, sucks. Right on.
It is fucking horrible.
Let's get into this interview for me, then.
All right, well, thanks, guys, for being on my show.
No, thank you, Donnie. We love you, man.
We'll be right back.
All right, goddammit. That was Viva La Vox. Great fucking band. If you've never had a chance to get out and see them, do it. You will be impressed. They put on a phenomenal show. And the two songs I played by them was, the first one was Makeshift Life, and then the second one was Wayward One. So, yeah, good stuff. I think that's going to be it for my show here. Stay tuned for next week, episode 56. I will have the Curtis Eller interview. Most definitely, it's already done. But if the Coney Island Cockabilly Roadshow comes near you, go see it. I mean, it's a great price to see all these acts, and you will be impressed. So check them boys out. They put together a hell of a fucking show. There's something you will like there. If you don't like all of it, you will like something. Trust and believe.
This song may offend you if you are half white. Well, I'm Jason Pongneck and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, I moved out to L.A. a few years back, and I had no idea of what I was to encounter. Different cultures, languages, barriers. I got off that plane, got a cab, and said, need to get my ass down to Hollywood. Can you get me to Hollywood? Me no speak no English. 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 Whoa. And this guy got in to share a cab. He was Spanish and he said, and we got to Hollywood. I started working at a tattoo shop on Hollywood and Highland. And then I go get something to eat. One Big Mac, large fries, and a Coke. I learned how to pick a number on the value mill. I went down to the Greyhound station to get a ticket to go fulfill a bond obligation down in Nashville. I need a ticket from Hollywood to Nashville. Need a ticket from Hollywood to Nashville. Me no speak no English. 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 After about 2 hours, the translator came to give me my ticket from Hollywood to Nashville. So I walked back to my tattoo shop, and my Mexican friend, Micho Sanchez, says to me, what's the matter, Jay?
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 Me no speak no English. Me no speak no English. Me no speak no English. He said, so? He said, Jay, what makes you so mad about all this? I said, maybe it's the boundaries of the American way. English. American English, by the way. He said, well, what makes you so mad? I said, well, because I don't understand these people. And he said, well,
If you were to say anything back to him, what would you say? I said the same thing back. Yo no como hablo español.
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 Heart of my eyes, we hold it. Me tardío.
Pinchy bueno.
Heart of my eyes, we hold it. Me tardío.
Pinchy gringo.
Me tornillo, me tornillo, me tornillo. Me tornillo, me tornillo, me tornillo. Yo no como hablo español.
Yo no como hablo español.
Yo no como hablo español.
Well, my good friend Micho Sanchez says to me, he says, Jason Pugneck, you wrote the best Mexican-American song ever. The best Mexican-American song ever. I said, no, I didn't, Micho. I didn't say a lot that really meant anything in that song in English. And he said, well, what was it that you want to say?
I don't want to speak any of your Spanish.
I don't want to speak any of your Spanish.
I don't want to speak any of your Spanish.
Show for me tonight. I think I'm gonna head home. I'm out here with
Jason the Buckley. We
got Jason, Polly, and
Hickory Big Dick Hawkins up in here.
That's right. He's got a hog dick.
Motherfucker got a hog leg.
It's smoking.
Hell yeah, but it was a great show, Jason. Awesome to fucking meet you guys.
Hell yeah, the Coney Island Cockabilly Road Show.
Viva La Vox and Hickory Hawkins and Guitar Bomb and the Holy Road Sideshow with the Squilling Brothers. Fucking sideshow. Fucking freaks. Wait till you see the purple-haired clown. I'm going to smoke my wiener on the way home. Think about her.
I tell you what, it's like a great beautiful one to eat.
Give her a pearl necklace.
Shit, dude. Ain't nothing better than a girl with a frown painted on her face.
Hell yeah, but check out it's coming to a town near you, motherfuckers.
That's right, man. It's White Trash Revival Radio, goddammit. Just chasing in the punk next. We'll party with Donnie fucking Cash.
Right on.
What are you still doing in that computer?
I'm sorry, baby, but...
Do you know what time it is?
No.
Come to bed and fuck me now.
Okay.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, a world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.